Welcome to the teachings of Pastor Mike Yost of the Springs Calvary Chapel in Habern, Idaho. Please join us as we study the Word of God.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. He shall reign forevermore. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to get back into the worship. I just want to take a moment to bring to you the Word of God, right? I was reading amongst different ministries and pastors and how so many churches really ramp up for Easter, right? The pastor prepares weeks in advance because this is a big one. We want to give the big message. But I got to tell you, you're going to get the same stuff you get every Sunday here, because every Sunday's a big Sunday. Every Sunday's a Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we celebrate our risen Lord. And so we're going to be in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24. For those of you that brought your Bible, this will be briefer than my normal message, and we're going to get back into the worship, but I did just want to encourage you in that. And again, if you have some kids that are wiggling or little ones that are having a hard time, we do have folks down in the children's wing that can help you with that if the pastor gets a little long-winded. But here we go. We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. He is not here, but he is remembered. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Father God, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would enlighten our minds to receive and understand these words of grace and truth. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would pierce our hearts, every soul this morning, with whatever it is that you know we need. For some of us, it'll be a word of encouragement. For others, it may be a challenge. But Lord Jesus, we know you are alive, and your word is powerful and active and sharper than a two-edged sword that can pierce between the soul and the spirit, Lord. And we just ask right now that you would have your way with us. Do as you would please with your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Resurrection morning, it says, on the very first day of the week. We know this to be Sunday as the calendar went. Sunday is the first day of the week, and this is the day that Jesus predicted he would rise again. And so here they are. It says, they and certain other women. You can look up in a couple verses back at the cross of Christ. There was a number of people present, and then they followed him to where he was buried, in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And Nicodemus helped with that. And there were women who followed along. And we'll see that a little bit later in verse 10. Mary Magdalene, one of the women. Joanna, wife of Chuza, who is a housekeeper, a steward of Herod the king. Susanna, and Mary, the mother of James and Joses. And others at the cross, possibly. We know that Mary, the wife of Zebedee, was there, the mother of James and John. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at the cross. And so there was an entourage, and they were out on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. And as I mentioned in our announcements, it was before dark, before sunrise, right? And they were out, and they were there to prepare the body of Jesus for a proper burial, as would be proper for anybody you love, but of course for Jesus and who he claimed to be. And so they wanted to give him a proper burial. They went very early in that morning with the spices which they had prepared. It was as if they were continuing and finishing up with their wake, if you will, a custom of watching over a corpse. In many cultures, the wake, you watch and you wait until the body is officially buried. And during that period of the wake, you remain awake, and you're there to see that everything goes fine with the burial. Everything's done decently and in order. And so these ladies are kind of continuing on, finishing up that wake. They're going that morning. What are they expecting to find? Literally a corpse, a dead body. And they've come with these spices to finish the burial preparations so that they can bring closure to this tragedy in their life. Their Lord, their Savior, their promised Messiah, their Deliverer, the one who had the promises, the ones who had the Word of God, and now he's dead. And they're trying to bring closure, if you will. It says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Instead of closure, what did they find? An open grave, that Jesus wasn't there anymore, that it was empty. And sometimes, you know, I ask this question myself often, and I'm going to ask it to each of you right now, and you can take just a moment, pause, and come up with your own personal answer. But why did you come to church this morning? What do you think you might find? Now, I say this, I, a pastor, ask that question every Sunday. And you think, why would the pastor ask that? You should have figured it out by now, Mike. But I think it's a good question. Why do I come here? Do I come here because it's a J-O-B? I'm just preparing, I'm putting the sprinkling the spices on the body as if somehow we're just going to bring closure to this thing that we got going? Why do I come here? Why do you come here? What is it that you expected to find? Because this is going to be a situation of misplaced expectations. And how many people walk the earth and they have become disappointed and discouraged, even though they may have been raised in the church, even though they had godly parents, godly grandparents, friends at work, all these people telling about Jesus. And yet, it didn't work that way for me. I prayed, and that prayer wasn't answered. And you have unmet expectations. Well, this message this morning is addressing that issue. These women found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Greatly perplexed, beside themselves, trying to figure out what just happened. I remember once we were returning from living in the Philippines, and we had this little car that we kept in storage. It was small enough to drive into a cargo container. And we took that car and we drove to our kids' house. We were staying with our kids. And we came back from an outing with them one day, and our car was gone. Anybody here ever have a car stolen? Ever have a house burglarized? Ever walk into a situation where you're like, You're not just trying to figure out what happened. You're trying to figure out, did anything happen? You're doubting yourself. You're questioning. I can't tell you. I walked around that front yard over and over and over again. I know I left the car here. I know I left the car here. Now, you might do that in the parking lot just because you're old like me, and that's a different issue. But you're perplexed. Where's the body? Where's the corpse? We were there. We watched him crucified. We watched him breathe his last. give up his spirit. They plunged the spear into his side. Out came water and blood. We saw them take him down off the cross. We saw them put him in the tomb. They rolled the stone over the tomb. And I don't know what to do with that. The tomb's open and he's not there. They're perplexed. And then they see two men. It says in shining garments here. In some of your translations, if you have a different version in the English, it might have said men that were they were dazzling white. And these women who came for this ritual closure, trying to put to rest their hopes and dreams, went from perplexed to bedazzled. These guys like glowed. It was shining clothes. It was like, wow. And what do you do with this, right? You go from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour in a split second and you don't even know what to do. And they're just bedazzled. Greatly perplexed about this, and they beheld two men stood by them in shining garments. Now we read in John's gospel, those were angels, angels of the Lord. Verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the angels said to the women, why do you seek the living among the dead? They're afraid. They bow their heads to the earth. And I just can't help but think, I was watching you guys when you came in this morning. I saw a T-shirt, and I love this T-shirt. And on the T-shirt it says, I had my head bowed down, and Satan thought to himself, I've won, until he heard me say, amen. And where is your heart? Where is your position? Where is your posture? Even this morning, are there things about your life that aren't turning out the way you hope they would? You're going about the steps according to the tradition, the culture, everything that's laid out in front of you, and it's just not working. You're perplexed, you're confused, your head's bowed down, you're afraid. And they asked, the two angels asked these women, probably one of the most important questions in the Bible. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Pretty obvious question, right? If you're looking for something dead, go to a cemetery. Okay? If you're looking for something living, go to fill in the blank team. Church. Come to where the life is. Come to where the truth is. Come to where the hope is. Come to where the joy is. Come to where the glory is. But if you're looking for life in the tomb, you're looking in the wrong place. And I say that in light of the year that we've just had. How many people looked into 2020 with great hopes and expectations and dreams, only to find that what they saw was nothing like they expected? We've lost hundreds of thousands to this disease. But you want to kind of get your head on, in all of that, death has been conquered by Jesus Christ. All who place their faith in Jesus Christ go on to heaven. I've done funerals over the last year, and I can tell you, many of the people who we gathered and remembered their lives and celebrated the victory they had in Jesus Christ are more alive now than us. They are fully alive. They are fully awake. And yet we live in a culture today that claims itself to be woke. And it's like they're on drugs. It doesn't make sense. They're not awake. They're the opposite of awake. Jesus would say in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief, He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. And when the woke generation tries to get you to drink that Kool-Aid, you start looking in all the wrong places for all the answers. You start getting on your device, scrolling through the news feeds. Team, you're not going to find life there. Okay? And I'm not picking on social media only, but there's so many things. That party life. How many people go out partying looking for life? Right? Looking for pleasure. And what do you get? Pain. Not just that kind of partying. What about political partying? Thinking somehow that's going to bring you life. Somehow that's the answer. That's your salvation. Whether you ride a donkey or an elephant, somehow that's going to make a difference eternally. Now again, I didn't get up here this morning to attack you and your views and your opinions, but maybe we need to get a clear picture of what's really going on in the world here. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed, right? The famous greeting on Easter morning, on Resurrection Sunday, amongst the church. One person says, Christo Anesti. And then the answer is, Alithe Christ, or Alithe Anesti, right? He is risen indeed, right? That we acknowledge and we confirm that we serve a living Savior, that the tomb is empty, that Christ is risen. And you're not going to find the answers in the news. You're going to find the answers in the good news. And you're going to find the answers in the body of Christ, the living body of Christ. You're going to find the answers where the living hang out, not where the dead hang out. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, and this is a quote from Luke chapter 9, verse 22, 9:2, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Jesus said many times to his disciples, this is what's going to happen. They're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. They're going to bury me, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And it's interesting, if you get over into verse 44 and 45 of Luke 9, it's interesting. It says, but they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them, so they did not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. He had told them, let these words sink down into your ears. The Son of Man must be crucified. This is the good news, that Jesus went to the grave, beat sin and death, and rose again. And you put your faith in him, and you can do the same thing. And this is why we gather and celebrate Jesus Christ, because as we have confessed Jesus as our Lord, we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we are saved. We are heaven-bound. We are children of God. We are destined for glory and eternity with God. And we have every reason to celebrate in light of the fact that the world seems to be running off the rails. He is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. And this is something I think is important for us as we stop and we think about our risen Lord and Savior. How are we going to remember his words if we don't know his words? His words have been recorded for us. The Bible continually references the words of God. And we must be people of the Word of God. So when that dark hour comes, when that perplexing situation comes into our life, we remember. Oh yeah, God said that. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Right? In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come to bring you to where I am. We remember the promises of Christ. He said this was going to happen. And we don't find ourselves perplexed, but we begin to understand what's going on. In 1 Corinthians, I just want to take just a slight side note here. In chapter 15, at verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died according to the Scriptures." It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It was God's plan. "Died according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." It goes on to say, "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ or have died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." In this life only. Our hope isn't in this life only. Our hope is in the life to come. Our hope is in eternal life. Our hope is in the proof of life to come in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the very center of the Christian faith, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That is it in a nutshell. This is why we gather and celebrate. The evidence is clear. The verdict is in. Jesus wins. We place our faith in him. We go to heaven. Amen? They remembered his words, verse 9. "Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." You can imagine these ladies who had gone into the tomb, no doubt walking in the dark, out into a graveyard. That's enough already to start your mind going, your emotions starting to build. It's in the dark. There's the tomb. They make out in the dark. The stone's not on it. Whoa. How would you like to walk into a graveyard at night only to find a grave and it's open? So what do? We run and go get a flashlight, right? No, they go in the dark. And as their eyes adjust, he's not here. Something's happened. I love what we read in John's gospel. So I'm going to take you to that and just reference it. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." I'm reading out of John chapter 20. Verse 2, "Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter, therefore, went out, and the other disciple," speaking of John, "were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Now he," John, "stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in." Okay, so the guys were scared too. Okay, and he looks in and it says he saw. Now there's several different words in the original language for seeing or saw. This particular one says he noticed. He noticed the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. He noticed the grave was empty, but there's the linen cloths. Verse 6 of John 20, "Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself." This is a different word for seeing. Okay, John noticed the linen cloths, but it says, "Now Simon observed the linen cloths." Do you know the difference between noticing something and observing something? Right? You might notice something, it catches your attention, but when you observe it, you study it. You try to put together what you're seeing. And it says he saw the linen cloths lying there with the napkin folded. This is altogether different. He's starting to try to put the pieces together. What I love is this, in the original language, those linen cloths that would have been wound around Jesus' body, the word that they were empty indicates that it's like a hand inside of a glove. As though the glove is wrapped around the hand is removed, and the shape of the glove remains. It's just an empty glove. That's what Peter now observed. Wow. It's not like somebody just tore a bunch of linen cloths off and then got the body. It's like a cocoon. And the body's not in it. And there at the head is this napkin that would have covered his face, neatly folded. I always like to say this is to Mary's credit, because she taught Jesus to make his bed when he got up. And there's many different legends and traditions that somehow, as a master carpenter, when he had finished his work, as many wood craftsmen would do, they would finish rubbing down the furniture they made, and when they were completely finished with the work, they'd fold up their napkin and lay it on and say, "It's finished." And that folded napkin, it's finished. There's many traditions out there as to why the napkin was folded. We actually don't know if you read the text, but if you observe, you can see that it was. This wasn't a robbery. This was very deliberate and purposeful. And Jesus, even in his own resurrection, did everything decently and in order, just as the scripture said. Going on in John at verse 8, then the other disciple, this is John now again. Remember, he looked in and he noticed. Then Peter went in and observed. And now in verse 8, John again, the other disciple who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. Again, a third Greek word for seeing. Okay? From noticing to observing, and now perceiving. When you look at something and you perceive it, that's when you actually take it in and understand it. You recognize what it is that you're looking at. And what John recognized was, it's true. It's true. It's really, really true. He told us on the third day he'd rise again. And it's true. He's not here. He's alive. And he perceived that. And I just pray this Sunday for people around the planet that they would do more than notice a bunch of Christians going to church. They would do more than walk into the church and observe the way they worship and observe the way they preach, but that they would take time to really put together what they're looking at and perceive the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a fact of human history that you can bank your life on. And this is why we celebrate. So I'm jump you right back to Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. We got some worship in front of us here. So they went back and they told all the disciples, and it says in chapter 12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had just happened. Marveling from perplexity to bedazzlement to bewilderment to wonder, marvel. Awe, admiration, wow, it's true. All the things that Jesus said were true. And if you go into Matthew's gospel, it says, and when Peter left, he ran into Jesus. He actually crossed him on the road, and the first thing that Jesus said to him was Kairo, which is translated to our traditional greeting, grace or hail to you. That's the first thing Jesus says, recorded, when he comes out of the grave. Grace! Grace to you! And that's Jesus' message for each and every one of us here this morning. Wherever you've gone in life, wherever you're at in life, whatever the state of your circumstances is in your life, God has grace for you. He wants to meet you in his grace. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. So this morning, We're going to enjoy communion together. We just celebrated as a church family a couple nights ago in the auditorium here as Jesus sat down with his disciples for that last supper, that last meal that he would share with them. It was the Passover meal that was celebrated traditionally by the Jews and still is to this day. And Jesus, as a observant Jew, was celebrating that. We're the usher team, you can start handing out the elements. And so as they were gathered in that upper room, Jesus went through that meal and he showed them his body broken for them, his blood shed for them, that they would understand what this communion is all about, that they would understand that it's all tied together, and that we, church, as we come together, not just Resurrection Sunday once a year, we come together on the first day of the week, and we begin our week celebrating a risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. And so we're going to share communion together. While the elements are passed, go ahead and take one. Worship team, you can lead us in a song, and when you are done, we'll go ahead and take communion. Indeed, we do praise your name, Lord our God, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We read from the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church in Corinth, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on our behalf. We thank you for the gift of your Son, your only begotten Son, beloved and precious. And yet you gave him for sinful man, that we, Lord, could become children of God. And we eat of this bread. We partake in communion, recognizing that we are one body in Christ, and acknowledge that in remembrance of him. Take and eat. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." That new covenant, that new promise, that those who put their faith in Jesus Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. That as they would come to Jesus Christ and confess their sins, he would cleanse them and wash them and forgive them of their sins and fill them with his Holy Spirit, that they would be sealed as children of God, adopted into the family, bound for glory. As we take this cup, we do so in remembrance of Jesus' work on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and drink. "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And he's coming soon, team. He's coming soon. And so we're going to continue in worship now. You guys take us on out. I think you got a bunch of songs, and we can celebrate the Lord Jesus. So if I don't say it later, I'll say it right now. God bless you. Have a blessed week in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to seeing you again this next week. And in the meantime, we just pray that the Lord would just bless you and shine his face upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's worship.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about the Springs Calvary Chapel, please visit our website at www.thespringscalvarychapel.org. Join us in person at the Springs in Heyburn, Idaho, or here on the podcast as we worship together in spirit and in truth.